Episode of 56. If everyone's running around and huffing and puffing and wanting to blow the houses down, well, isn't it time that some of us stand up and try to turn that scene around? Well, this isn't a nursery rhyme, but this is another edition of the Leading Chaos podcast, and we're going to work with a little bit of huff, a little bit of puff, and we will turn this thing around. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to another edition of this Leading Chaos podcast, and I'm really having fun with this title, but before I get into the huffing and puffing, I want to say if there's a little bit of confusion that I said last week's episode was episode 56, and this week's episode was episode 56, well, I double-tagged it, and that's my fault, but no worries, it's all up there on iTunes, and to go in and change it is just more work than it's worth right now. And it'll just confuse it. So we're keeping it a double episode 56 because we're all in the same chapter that I've been working with for the past three episodes, including this one. Well, I guess that's not the past three, it's the past two. And that is Don't Forget to Breathe. And we're reading out of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. So I had a little bit of a break, and what's going to be happening with the podcast is we'll be going to a biweekly schedule. Last week, I was in the great country of the Netherlands, and I was at the site of Emerges, which I mentioned in Mastering Public Speaking. And I got to see the group of advanced response crisis intervention instructors there. I am the CEO of Response Training Programs, and I get the honor and privilege of going and seeing the teams all over the place who actually do this work and teach crisis intervention skills. And I just had a delightful time. And, you know, I noticed that in the team that I work with, you know, as much as we think we know something, we still need to practice. And that is myself included. So we did a lot of role plays and really honing our skills. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing this week. And certainly those trainers, and I just want to give a shout out to them all. And another congratulations. I just can't help myself because I'm just so proud of that group. Yepa and Zipporah and Saskia, Lubna and Lisbeth and Yvonne. Just amazing, amazing people who carry the torch of kindness and teach others. What we all notice is how our breathing impacts the training and how it's really about slowing things down, certainly during a role play, but in real life interventions. And one of the ways that we do that is in that area of breathing for ourselves. So I've talked a lot about the pause and the exhale, but this week, the huffing and puffing week, is really to not just look at it for ourselves, but to see breathing as an amazing indicator that tells you everything about the situation at hand. The way a person breathes tells you everything. And I have, you know, let me bring you up to the page number that I'm in. I am on page number 114, and the section is called Breathing as an Indicator. And let me just read this. It's a little clinical, but just bear with me. It goes, a person in crisis also needs to regain a normal rate of respiration. Agitation, breath holding, and speaking quickly suppresses the supply of oxygen. Such a stressed state compromises people's ability to hear even the most effective interventions. And that is so true. I mean, no matter what you're saying, if that person isn't breathing at a normal rate of respiration that we know is between like anywhere like 14 to 20 inhales and exhales per minute, they're not going to hear what you're saying. So the more likely we are to manage huffing and puffing is going to be dependent upon our ability to help a person who is in distress normalize their rate of respiration. Yet we have to really hone those skills of identifying right at that critical point that that person is in a state of distress, and we look to the breath. So what do we see with breath? We look for a person who's in that freeze mode. They're kind of holding the breath. You will hear that sound, that suck in, and they'll just hold it, and their chest will be really, really tight. Or you'll hear the that deep, heavy breathing. Or a little bit of the shallow breath. Can you hear that? It's not easy doing this, I just want to say. Let me try it again. And plus, I'm a little bit jet lagged from the trip and dealing with a little bit of not a cold, but just a little bit of under the weather. Let me try that again. That's kind of what I would consider like a fearful breath. So what do I look for when I'm doing an intervention? Well, I want to tell you, but before I do that, I'm going to take a little bit of a segue and just encourage you to take the time today and follow the Facebook page. A couple of people have been doing that, and it's nice to see folks showing up there. And I put a lot out towards the Response Training Program's Facebook page, but I would love to have conversations on the Leading Chaos page specific to leading chaos in the ways that we've been talking about in this ongoing series. So if you have a question, don't be shy. Every single question is worthwhile, and I know that all of us are managing conflict on a daily basis. So I just want to take that moment to say that. Now, getting back to the huffing and puffing, what do I look for? Well, in any situation, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for that rising chest, and I probably am really leaning on my EMT skills, my emergency medical technician skills, of watching the chest move and at what rate. So somehow there's like almost an x-ray vision I have, but I just sense it without even looking directly at the person. You might also look for the nostrils to see if the nostrils are flared or if they're in a relaxed state. Flared is where like the nose, the nostrils are like wide out, and they might even be like stiff looking. The person's face is going to look different than it normally is. Or they might be sullen, kind of looking forward and down, and the chin is tucked in, which will compromise the breathing. So actually looking for any kind of indicator on the physical body to get a sense at what rate they are breathing. And what I mean there is, are they getting ample oxygen into their body? So if you have a person who's coming up to you really animated and talking quickly, like a mile a minute, and you're pretty much going to be able to assume that person is not taking time to breathe. And if you try to work with them before you help them normalize their rate of respiration, you're wasting their time and your time. So what do we do? Well, we do a simple, step forward and guide them into regulated breathing. And I say that really easily by, you're speaking very quickly. I want to hear what you're saying. I'm going to step back, pause. I'm going to take a deep breath in. And I want to invite you to join me. So then I go into that same thing again. I breathe in after I've already done one myself. Do you follow what I'm saying? I do the exhibit. I go, and when I do that, I often will lift my palms up to the sky, bring my shoulders and hands up, and then I'll drop slowly down. And that's a nonverbal cue to the person. Many people that I work with are working with clients, people in need who don't have a lot of verbal skills. So you have to really rely on nonverbal skills, and breathing is a great one. You don't even have to say, hey, breathe with me. You could just start doing very animated breathing yourself without making it too taxing or too quickly. Just going, (sighs) And if you are in a situation right now where you could stop what you're doing and just go along with me, just try this. We're going to breathe in. And as we do, we're going to bring our palms facing up, lifting up, breathe in, lift your palms up, 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 breathe in, hold it, hold your palms up. And now put your palms down, blow out, and lower your palms. Man, that just like, that is like the best glass of water in the world. That just makes me feel super chill. And that's what I want. I mean, nobody likes being frantic or out of sorts. So breathing as an indicator, critical, critical. And in the book, I have a couple of vignettes. I have a vignette with Ken Jones, who goes into a high school vice principal's office, and Ken takes two. And maybe it's just Ken Jones before I go further. And then I also talk about some other things here. But the real piece here is just training yourself to see breath as an indicator. Oh yeah, here are the other pieces here. Snorting in a checkout line. How often have you or I been in a checkout line and we're in a real rush, like we're ready to go get our snacks to go to the movie, the drive-in movie or whatever, and the person in front of us has like 25 items when they're only supposed to have 15 items. You could just hear people start sighing and using their breath. I mean, we use breath all the time as an indicator to show disdain towards others, or, you know, we're a little irritated in one way or another. So breath is out there constantly showing itself. Don't overlook it. I really want to encourage you not to overlook it, because it will tell you everything going on. Like, for instance, a person who's going to throw a punch, you can see them pull their breath. And then if they're going to punch out forward. So that would allow you to go into a ready stance. And maybe that's a very high technical skill to think about, but I don't think so. I think that you are wise enough and interested enough on this topic to know that these small steps can really provide a lot of information. So don't overlook breathing. It's the number one indicator that's out there. And so many people do overlook it. But if you don't, you are like way ahead of the pack. So check it out. All right, so I will see you in 2 weeks, and we're going to go into a little bit more guided breathing, and I think you'll really enjoy that. I have an amazing story, and we'll be also discussing counseling on a phone, because probably some of you might be doing that where you're doing a crisis call, and that will be in 2 weeks, so I look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, here is a little bit of homework. Please try it if you can. Tonight, tomorrow, during the day, during lunch, the next meeting you go to, when you go in to a situation where there's more than one person, or even just one person, watch how that person breathes. When the conversation changes, watch the subtleties and start honing your skills of seeing breath as an indicator of a shift or a change of the temper of the tempo of the conversation. It's really worth your time. And I hope it becomes a valuable skill for you as it does for me. Alrighty, this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and take time to hone your skills of seeing breath as an indicator. Ciao for now.